Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So thankful that we can come here tonight. So thankful for everybody online that's joined us. And thank God that he is here in our presence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have so many blessings and so thankful to our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray before we begin here tonight, anything, and trust the Lord that he will lead and guide. I'll tell you what, it's winter here, and we've had some very, very cold days. We've had snow, still a little bit of snow on the ground, but it's a little warmer now, and I don't know exactly if it's going to rain or snow next, but praise the Lord. I just thank God he's with us. He takes us through winter, and he takes us through every day. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing to give every day over to the Lord Jesus and let him steer our ship, so to speak. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here as we get ready to begin. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we just thank you, God. We thank you for your precious word that ministers to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to walk in confusion, Lord. Oh, God, oh, it looks so strange out there, Lord. The times are so different. And, oh, God, only you know what's going on. But, oh, Lord, we thank you that we can put it into thy hands. We thank you that we can trust you, Lord. Oh, God, we know that you lead us, that you guide us, that you are directing our paths. And oh God, you know how to get us home. And we're so thankful, Lord. We're so thankful that we can trust in thee, that we can have this hope in our earthen vessel, a hope beyond this world, Lord. A hope, oh God, that gives us the ability to live in this world. And oh God, to have confidence that you are with us. Oh, yes, a deep down peace in our hearts, oh Lord, that the world cannot take away. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you, Lord. I pray that you'd give me the words, the authority, the ability, the anointing tonight. I pray that you'd use this message for your kingdom's sake. Oh, God, you know the needs of your people, Lord, and I pray that you'd reach down. Oh, God, by faith, that we would touch even the hem of your garment. And, oh, Lord, I pray that you would be here, Lord. Oh, God, be here, Lord, for, oh, God, what can we do without thee? Oh, God, we can do nothing without thee. And, oh, God, I thank you that you are here, Lord, and you're going to help us. You're going to talk to our hearts, and I pray, oh, God, that you'd get us ready that moment, oh Lord, when you come again. Oh, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we live in a very fallen world, and you know, it just seems like it's more obvious than ever. So many things to ponder, and people have changed, I would say, very greatly. Even in my own lifetime, I've just seen so many, many changes. But I think the cry of our hearts here, we who know the Lord, is to draw nearer to the Lord, to draw closer to the Lord. I believe we want to see more of the works of the Lord in our lives and among us. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we want to be closer to him than ever before. Praise the Lord. I've heard that expressed among some of you, and I believe that's the thought of my heart too, that, oh my, we could see more of God, that we could give more to God. Amen. That we could have a greater understanding in his word. Amen. We don't have much time left from what I can see and gather in my own being. And oh, I know if we're going to do something for the Lord, we need to do it now. Amen. Amen. Yes, it is a crazy world. We've seen so many things happen that we can't really comprehend. And sometimes, you know, the blank stares that you get from people when you happen to mention something about the Lord, you know, they just look at you and stare, you know, like, who are you, you know? But thank God we are the children of the Most High God. Amen. And he puts his spirit in our hearts. He leads us. He guides us. He has given us a hope beyond this world. And so, yes, we want to go into his word tonight and ponder it and see how he might lead. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's our human tendency to forget. And oh my, to get just so busy in our everyday doings that, you know, we don't maybe have time to look into God's word, or maybe have time to pray, so it seems. And you know, things spiritually often get neglected. But oh yes, to learn to put the Lord first. And oh yes, oh, to hide his word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Amen. That's what it's all about. We've got this roadmap. And yes, it knows how to direct us. Yes, if we'll just adhere to it, if we'll just believe it, if we'll just follow it, if we'll just obey it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So yes, we're going to just talk tonight about being revived. I'm going to call this message, Revive Us Again. Praise the Lord. Revive us again. You know, in my youth, I was privileged to have times of revival there in our church. And, you know, it was quite involved when I think of it. You know, I just was privileged to grow up in a very God-fearing church and very much King James. I think most churches were maybe King James at that point. At least I just hadn't heard much of the other versions of Bibles at that point. But you know, we were busy. I was thankful that my pastor was able to bring other people in. We had missionaries that came and visited us, and they would inspire us. They would give us a glimpse of their world and what they were doing for the Lord. And I always found that very inspiring. And then we would have those times of revival. And revival usually meant that we would gather at the church every night. Maybe we'd take Monday off, or sometimes it would be Saturday, just kind of to have a little rest and so on for our bodies. But, you know, we would gather every night. And, you know, we would expect the Lord to move. I do remember one very wonderful revival. It was during my high school years. And it was actually a woman evangelist that came in this case. And our pastor had encouraged us to, you know, believe that God was going to do great things. And it was right after camp meeting. We had camp meeting every year and you know, try to get there and participate. And camp meeting was mostly to, you know, revive one's person, you know, to be have fellowship with other people you didn't see all the time, and just to be, you know, there was a morning service and, you know, sometimes something in the afternoon, and then the big evening service, and you'd come with expectations that people would find the Lord, that they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost, and God would do wonderful things. Well, we had camp meeting, and on that last night, I knew we were going to have that revival in my local Eau Claire church, and I encouraged a few of my friends to, you know, seek the Lord with me that night, and our goal was to pray all night and seek the Lord that he would send us a wonderful revival. And praise the Lord, I don't know that we prayed all night, but we did pray into the wee morning hours. It was maybe five or so by the time some of us were done. And anyway, just us few really. And I remember just before we stopped praying that my pastor found us and he said, you know, he felt like the Lord was really going to honor our sacrifice, our time of prayer there. And, you know, it was an amazing thing because that revival that we had following that prayer meeting lasted for many weeks. Many weeks. And yes, we had visitors that came to our local Eau Claire church. And oh my, many people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was a beautiful time. In fact, my best friend, and I was a high school student at that time, my best friend, Sherry, came to church, and also her sister, Trula. And we had been close, and Trula was my sister Sharon's age, and so we had spent some time together, all four of us even, and talking about the Lord and going into His Word. And I had encouraged them. They were Baptist girls, basically, and I was encouraging them that, you know, we could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, they came to church with Sharon and I this one evening, and praise the Lord, this evangelist invited whosoever would like to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost to come to the front. And praise the Lord, these dear friends came to the front. And praise the Lord, this evangelist put her hands upon their heads. And they were good girls. I mean, you know, they believed in the Bible. They believed in repentance. And, you know, I mean, they honored God in all the ways they knew. And praise the Lord, when hands were laid upon them, they began to speak with other tongues. Praise the Lord, as the Holy Ghost came into their heart. Praise the Lord. Oh, it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. Praise the Lord. And there were others. There was a long line of individuals, and I forget just how many the Lord filled with the Holy Ghost that night. Praise the Lord. But God is faithful, and He keeps His word, and He has promised us that we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come. And oh yes, that power that fell on Pentecost is still for the church of God today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And praise the Lord, you know, I guess I did go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts last week, and I do admit, I'm waiting, oh, for one day, oh my, that the Holy Ghost would fall while we're up here teaching or preaching. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost would fall. Amen. Praise the Lord, just like it did on the Gentile church there, Cornelius and his household, those that were gathered there, oh yes, to hear the words that Peter had to tell them. Amen. Praise the Lord. He just taught them Jesus. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God uttered His word. And yes, they received the Holy Ghost just as it had fallen on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, to Peter's amazement, he didn't know that was going to happen to the Gentile people. But it did. Praise the Lord. It did. And I'm so glad, because it's still falling on Gentile people today. Amen. Oh, yes, it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but oh, yes, praise the Lord, that includes all of us. And oh, yes, we all have this opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. But, you know, those revival services were times of refreshing that came from the Lord. You know, it just, you know, you meet every night and you just, you get in that spirit of expectancy and faith and, you know, desire to see more and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, but, you know, the hope that, you know, there'd be new people there and or those that had maybe sought for the Holy Ghost for a long, long time, you maybe would be filled and, you know, just expecting God to do great and wonderful things. And it does something to your spirit. Amen. Just, you know, faithfully gathering. And yes, it's a sacrifice. It's pretty hard. And I marvel, you know. School kids, you know. That wasn't so easy. You have to get up early and meet the bus. And I think of all our working parents. My dad, you know, had to get up early and go to work and do hard labor. And yet, wow, you know, we'd come back for church. Praise the Lord, every night except for rest night. And God would honor that sacrifice. So my, praise the Lord, He would honor it. And I'm so thankful, you know. Oh, it just makes us stronger in the Lord. It gives us greater faith. Oh, praise the Lord. And how we need these times in the Lord. Oh, yes, that we would gain momentum and gain strength and gain victories. Oh my, you just never know what God is going to do when you linger in His presence and let His fire fall down from heaven and fill your heart and your soul and your mind and give you a strength beyond this world. You never know what is going to happen. Praise the Lord. We need it. I do believe these are the last times, and oh yes, if we ever needed to be close to the Lord, it's right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 57. Praise the Lord. I'm going to just read a few verses here. Isaiah chapter 57, please. Praise the Lord. Let's read here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at the 14th verse here. And it says, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh, praise the Lord, oh, our holy God, our high and lofty God. Amen. There is none higher than our God. Oh, praise the Lord. He inhabits, he lives in eternity. And his name is holy. Yes, that's where he dwells, in the high and holy place. Oh, yes, with his people who have a contrite and a humble spirit. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, to revive means to restore to life or consciousness. It means to impart new health, vigor, or spirit. It means to renew in the mind. It can mean to return to validity, effectiveness, or operative condition. And it comes from a French word, it means to live. Or to live again. Praise the Lord. And here in this 15th verse here in Isaiah is talking about the need, oh yes, for our spirits to be revived. Oh yes, that they might live. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we all came into this world, oh, in our sorry sin state. Amen. Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it tells us, turning now to Ephesians, the second chapter. I believe Brother Samuel was just here. But anyway, it tells us, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, that includes all of us. And of course, to be quickened means to be made alive. And yes, we were once in that dead state of mind. Yes, while we served sins. While we lived in our trespasses, we were dead. We were dead, living in the old man and not knowing God. And oh yes, there's a description in verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh yes, we were in a hopeless state once upon a time too, just doing what we wanted to do in the flesh, fulfilling our flesh, and you know, all those desires of the flesh and of the mind. And oh yes, just like everybody else, we were the children of wrath. We were in the state of condemnation at that point. But praise the Lord, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we can feel and sense the presence of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, yes. Oh, perhaps worshiping him. Oh, yes. And oh, he lives in the praises of his people. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, when we can be together. And oh, yes, the presence of the Lord comes down. He comes down and fills the place. Praise the Lord. We can sense his reality. We can sense his presence. And oh, yes, we know that we are sitting together in heavenly places. Oh, the things of this world, all the matters of this world begin to diminish in our minds as we feast on the Word of God. And, oh, yes, as we feel His presence, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, praise the Lord, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. He takes our old man, our old person, our sinful, lustful flesh, and he begins to change us. And it's nothing that we could have ever have done of our own, but it's the work of God. We become His workmanship. You could say His project. Praise the Lord. He takes us and He reforms us. He makes us what we ought to be in Christ Jesus. Oh, little by little. Amen. Oh, yes. All the rough edges have to come off. Amen. We have to be remade, oh yes, so that we can stand in before the presence of the Lord, the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. And he goes on, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In other words, he's made both Jew and Gentile one in Christ Jesus. That middle wall of partition, oh, that barrier that stood between us is no longer there. Having abolished in his flesh this enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God. And there again, he's talking about Jew and Gentile, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Oh, yes, we were far from the commonwealth of Israel if we were Gentiles, you know. Oh, my, but he came and had mercy on us. He preached peace. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, and also to them that were nigh, it tells us. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Oh, the Lord's habitation, the Lord's building. Oh, yes, it consists of his people. Praise the Lord, who build their life upon that foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And yes, the apostles and the prophets worked on the foundation. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. But oh yes, we all are a part of that building, and it all connects, it's fitly framed together, and it's growing unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. He walks in us and he talks to us. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are his people. We are his habitation, his dwelling place. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then just flipping a few pages over to Colossians, the second chapter. Just want to read a little bit here too. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2. And I want to start with verse 6 here. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 6, it tells us, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And again, yes, part of that building that the Lord Jesus is putting together, consisting of his people. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, by his grace and mercy, roots that go down deep so that we're anchored fully in Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Amen. So he tells us in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And I'll tell you what, the philosophies of man sure can make an impact in life. Oh my, you know, maybe you go to the university and, you know, what are they going to teach you there? I would say almost every class is going to have their own philosophy. And oh my, if you don't know the Word of God, if it isn't deep in your hearts, you might be carried away by their philosophy and their vain deceit. Oh my, you know, the things that they might try to tell you that might sound pretty convincing, maybe even common sense, but you know, not rooted in God's Word. And you know, it's so easy to follow after the traditions of man. You know, that's so simple. That's why Christmas is so hard for so many people to give up, because it's rooted in tradition. You know, it's something that, you know, you look back and, oh, yes, my parents did it, my grandparents, and, you know, those before that, and, you know, you're made to think that it's, you know, a good thing, and, you know, it has a wholesome background. Oh my, but look into it and you'll find out that it's not rooted in what people seem to think. In fact, you know, how do you get Santa Claus and elves and reindeer and all of this, you know, into the birth of Jesus Christ? In reality, we know it isn't the birth of Jesus Christ because, you know, he wasn't even born at that time. That's, you know, a time when heathen religions celebrated their gods. Oh my, yes, they saw that, you know, the days were getting shorter, and, you know, they just considered that, you know, it was a time that the gods died, and, you know, you look forward to the time when the days got longer, you know, and assuming that the gods would come back, or something vain philosophy like that. But, you know, oh my, there's so much, but it's so easy to be steered into traditions and it just continue things without looking back or even maybe considering that maybe, you know, their background isn't so wholesome, that maybe their origins is based, you know, in paganism. Oh, we got to be careful here what we allow into our lives. But yes, we're told to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of the world, you know, the rules of this world, the things that, people, you know, look to and put trust in, and not after Christ, it says. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. A true repentance, when we turn away from the things of this world, when we turn away from the traditions of men. Oh, yes, when we get our eyes in the book, amen, to see what it declares, what it teaches us, so that we can know how to think and how to follow God. Amen. So we can be right in His sight. And that, yes, gives us also of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, so we can be led by His Spirit. Amen. And it tells us in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we are so privileged in Christ Jesus. So very privileged, amen. Oh, yes. Oh, the wonderful gift of salvation. Oh, yes, to obey the gospel. Yes, and oh, yes, that repentance experience here in that 11th verse is likened to the required circumcision of the Old Testament under the law, but it's a circumcision made without hands. Amen. Because in so doing, we're putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Oh, yes, we're repenting. We're turning away from sin. Amen. Oh, we're giving it over to the Lord so we don't have to walk in those old filthy ways. Swear like a sailor and, you know, they do the abominable things, you know, that people out there do. Drink to be happy and, you know, drink to bury their sorrows and inhibitions perhaps and you know what all. But thank God we've got new life in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we've been quickened together with him. Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes, we want to walk in him. Praise the Lord. And, oh, yes. He knows how to take us and how to restore us, how to revive us. Oh, yes, how to quicken us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. For, yes, we know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. As it tells us, 2 Corinthians of Chapter 5, verse 17, I believe. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, yes, Jesus Christ came into this world with his plan. Oh, yes, the eternal plan of God. Oh, yes, the high and mighty one. Oh, put on flesh. He robed himself in flesh to come and dwell among us, a sinful people. But a people that he came to save from our sins. Praise the Lord. He tells us, you know, the ones he can reach are those of a contrite and a humble spirit. A contrite spirit is one that feels regret or sorrow for one's sins or offenses. A contrite spirit is one that shows sincere remorse for wrongdoings, or in other words, it's repentance. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, till we get to that place where we can acknowledge that we are a sinner and we need salvation and we can't do it on our own, till we get to that place, you know, the Lord can't help us. He can't help us. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ could not help the Pharisees and many of those others in that religious sector, because they were the elite. Oh, they thought they were the examples. They thought, you know, they didn't need repentance, you know, that they should be highly esteemed and looked unto because of their own holiness, so they thought. But oh my, Jesus couldn't do a thing with them as long as they had that spirit. No, it's gonna take a contrite and a humble spirit. Oh, yes, to get right with God. Oh, yes, to find your way to heaven. It's going to take acknowledging the fact that you need Jesus. Yes, that's what it's going to take to revive our hearts, the hearts of the contrite ones, as it tells us in Isaiah 57. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 85 right now. Praise the Lord. Psalms 85. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we do praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And this psalm, like so many, you can see the longing in the heart, the looking forward to the one who would come, the Messiah, the one who would come to revive them, to make them alive. Yes, to show them the way. Amen. They were looking for that one to come into the world. And these first three verses, I feel, are prophetic. It's whoever penned this, it's to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And so it tells us here, I believe this is prophetic. It says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Of course, it was a wonderful thing when they were delivered out of Egypt. And of course, those many years later, after all the kings of Judah had reigned and done their things, and then they were carried off because of their sin into Babylon and other places, it was a wonderful thing when they were restored. Of course, some of them never came back. It is true. And you know, the thing is, they kind of carried a little bit of Babylon back, I think. It seems like, the Hebrews, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they kind of carried a little bit of Egypt out of them. Oh, we don't want to rub too closely to the world, do we? No, we don't. But it says, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. And the greatest captivity that I can think of is sin. That's the greatest bondage that you could ever consider. And oh my, it's a wonderful thing when we're delivered out of that bondage. Oh, it feels so good. If you do not yet know how it feels to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus, oh, and have that weight of sin off your back, oh my, that's a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful thing to be relieved of that horrible burden. Tells us in Psalms 32, reading just a few verses, I think, here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth or ascribes or credits not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, any deceit or cunning, trickery, or just plain sin, you could say. But here the psalmist, and it's a psalm of David, it tells us when it kept silence, in other words, not responding to that conviction, it tells us my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day, heavy upon me. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped something here. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. And I believe this is a description of just being highly convicted and very uncomfortable, very dry throat, and not comfortable by any means, because there was some conviction upon the life. It says, for day and night my hand was heavy upon me, and that's pretty hard when, the Lord's trying to tell you something and you not wanting to receive it, and, kind of trying to ignore what he's doing. But, oh, what a wonderful thing when you just say, Lord, I give it over to thee. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, God, I come unto thee. And it tells us in verse 5, oh, that moment I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, praise the Lord, all the mercy and grace of our God, praise the Lord. What a relief when that burden of sin is and hanging on your back and, you know, just barreling over you, and you know you got that to face all the time. Oh my, you wake up with it and you go to bed with it. Oh, that's a horrible way to live. And it tells us in verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Oh yes, our life becomes hidden in Christ. And yes, every one of us have to come to that place where we get down on our knees or bend our heart, you know, to the living God and acknowledge those sins. Yes, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Oh, yes, we need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Yeah, draw nigh while he is nigh unto us. Amen. Oh, yes. Let the Lord do that work in your life. There will be no regrets, no remorse for serving the Lord and turning your life over to him, getting that weight of sin off your back. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Back to Psalms 85. Verse 2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Oh, it's a beautiful thing when our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, again, such a relief. And I love how it's described in Micah chapter 7, I believe, where it tells us in verse 18, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it came to pass when Jesus Christ came to this world. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Oh, that promise of them. Oh, yes, that their seed, oh, would be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seas. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that seed would come forth from Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God in the flesh who came to this world to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord, so that we might be his seed. We might be his sons and his daughters. Praise the Lord. That is what, yes, was that which was included in that promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Praise the Lord. Yes, one day he's going to come to this world and have compassion upon us. And yes, subdue or conquer our iniquities and then cast all their sins, all our sins, into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord, to no longer be remembered. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And it goes on. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thy anger. Oh, you know, God isn't happy with sin. He came to this world to save us from our sins. You know, in the beginning, there was no sin. It was a perfect world. God's perfect stamp was on everything. And Adam and Eve, you know, they lived in a state where there was no sin until that day that the serpent enticed Eve. And yes, she did the thing that was forbidden and gave also to her husband, Adam. And yes, thus sin came into the world, and it was never the same after that. And oh yes, God has an anger against sin. We read of it in Isaiah 12. It tells us in Isaiah 12, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Praise the Lord. Oh, what a change when we bow our knees to the holy God and give our sins over to him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, his anger is abated at that time. And oh, yes, oh, he comforts us. Praise the Lord. Even the Holy Ghost Comforter. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Oh yeah, we don't have to be afraid anymore. Oh, yes, because we've got our hearts right with God. Praise the Lord. We don't have to walk around just not knowing what's going to happen next and afraid that, you know, we're going to be damned, because we already are damned until we turn our life over to the Lord Jesus. But oh, praise the Lord, yes, when he comes into our life, he becomes our salvation. Yes, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, yes, oh, that word Jesus means salvation. Praise the Lord. And what a beautiful moment. We don't have to be afraid anymore. Oh, the Lord has taken our sins and cast them into that sea of his forgetfulness. Praise the Lord. So he becomes our Jehovah, our strength and our song, our salvation. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Yes, everything changes. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, out of the wells of Jesus. Oh, those living waters that he was talking about when he encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. Yes, those wells of salvation. Those wells that, oh, are so deep that there's no bottom. Oh, those wells that we can forever draw from more and more and more, because we always need more of Jesus. Amen. But there's always more that we can draw from. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, the wells of Jesus. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. He gives us a testimony. He gives us a praise. Oh, praise the Lord. We can call upon his name. And we can declare his doings among the people. Oh, yes, make mention that his name is exalted, that name that is higher than any name on earth or in heaven, the name Jesus. Praise the Lord. And yes, that song that he puts into our heart, oh, that song of praise unto our God. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. This salvation is available to whosoever will receive it. Amen. To whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of salvation. Amen. And then we're told, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Oh, yes. We're born again. We're born into the family of God. We become an inhabitant of Zion, the dwelling place of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord. He comes to be in our very midst. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. It's a beautiful thing. Back here in Psalms 85, verse 3, thou hast taken away all thy wrath, Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thy anger. Praise the Lord. And yes, I believe the psalmist was declaring that in prophetic utterances here. But here, now we hear a little different pitch here, because salvation had not yet come in the days of the psalmist. And there was a yearning in the heart. There was a desire, a great desire, oh yes, for a restoration. Oh yes, that, oh yes, God would come walk with them and be in them and live in them. And, oh yes, you know, come back from the time when Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening, when they had perfect fellowship with him before sin came into the world. Oh yes, there was a yearning in the heart for a restoration, where we could have that kind of fellowship with God, the creator of this universe, the mighty and high one, the lofty one. Oh yes, who sits in the heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. So there's a yearning in these next few verses here in this 85th Psalm. Oh, it says, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thy anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations? In other words, is there no end? You know, are you going to be angry all the time, Lord, and no restoration, and no time of refreshing, no time of reviving? Oh, question here in verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, you see the yearning of the heart. Oh, yes, to be revived. Oh, yes. Oh, get out of that dead state. Oh, yes, to be restored to life, or, you know, return to the living God validity or effectiveness or operative condition where, you know, everything was right. We have that fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. You know, all that walk with him, and so we could walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We could be renewed in our minds. Oh, praise the Lord. So the question, oh, yes. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, it's such a yearning in the heart. And how we need it. We need those times of refreshing that fall from the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, as I said, you know, that living water that we need to draw from, that, oh, takes the thirst, that thirst that is within our being, that thirst for the living God. You know, oh, to whom do we turn? You know, there's none like our God. It's empty. Oh, my, without God in our lives. For God has put it within every human being, a place reserved for the living God, a place where only he can fulfill that longing and that need. And oh, yes, oh, change us and make us what we ought to be, to give us true fulfillment in the spirit, to praise the Lord. Yes, so there's that yearning. Oh, people don't always perceive it. They try to fill up that empty spot with all kinds of things of the world. Oh, they might think that money will, you know, take away, you know, that yearning, you know, maybe power, prestige, you know, education, you know, just being a good Samaritan or whatever, all, you know, anything, just to do something, oh, to strive, you know, to be right, really, because, yeah, there's a place down within our being that's reserved for the Almighty God. You need to give him that place in your heart. You need to turn your sins over to him. Yes, you need to get right with him, even right now, and get right with him so that you can serve him and be revived in your heart. Oh, yes, we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, as we read in Ephesians, that second chapter. Oh, yes. And then it cries here, verse 7, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly, all the follies of this world. Oh yes, and the devil will try to force his way into your life. Oh, to give you contrary thoughts and ambitions and desires. How we need to examine our hearts and make sure that we are right with God. Amen. But oh yes, when we're following him, when we're right with him, he gives peace. He speaks peace unto his people and to his saints. Amen. Jesus spoke of that peace, didn't he? Oh yes, John, the 14th chapter, Jesus was speaking of that peace. He says in verse 27 of John, the 14th chapter, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, because, yes, Jesus, he left this world, yes, that he would send back of his spirit. And oh, yes, that he would give us a peace that is not the peace of this world, way beyond what man strives for, all the ambitions of man to try to seek peace. And you know what? That's a goodly thing. Brother Sam, I saw a couple articles on the podium the other Sunday, and you know, talking about our president and just thinking that maybe by, you know, negotiating peace, you'd find heaven, maybe peace with God. Oh my, you know, quite a thought. And, you know, the other articles, you know, that, you know, he didn't think he was heaven bound, which is very interesting. But anyway, Jesus Christ came to give us peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. A peace that the world cannot give us. And of course, in John the 16th chapter, verse 33, Jesus ended that discourse there, all before the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, this world is full of trouble. We're warned, yes, that we're going to have tribulation in this world. We're going to have tests. We're going to have trials. There's going to be rocky roads and hard things that we have to face. But there's something that Jesus Christ desperately wants us to have, and that he died and rose again and ascended into heaven and sent back his spirit, that we might have his peace. His peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that peace that he gives to his people. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Yes, Paul described it in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I love that. I love this. This verse here, you know, his peace. You can't comprehend it. It's past understanding. But praise the Lord, that peace of God, that's what's going to keep us. Praise the Lord in this rocky time, in these uncertain moments. Oh, yes, when Antichrist activity is going on. Oh, yes, when AI is coming into force and, you know, you can't tell what's real and what's fake. But, oh, yes, we've got the Word of God. We need to hide it in our hearts. Amen. We need, oh, yes, that peace that only God gives. A peace that they're never going to understand through book learning, or certainly not through AI. All the corruptions of this world. Oh my, all the fakiness of this world. No, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I like this, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's going to keep us all through these rough times, these struggling times, these rocky times. You know, all the fear that, you know, they, you know, bring through, you know, all their, you know, talks and, you know, you got things like Alzheimer's and dementia and all the other, you know, possibilities that, you know, could certainly make us paranoid. But praise the Lord, we won't go that route, will we? If our minds are stayed upon Jesus, we have that peace of God which passeth all understanding. Praise the Lord, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Back here in Psalms 85. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 8 again. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. No, yes, we don't want any spirit of unbelief to come in and invade us and, you know, take away that faith that we need in Jesus Christ, that faith that we must have in Jesus Christ. You know, it tells us in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And then verse 4 here in Isaiah 26. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, oh my, what do we do when our strength begins to fail? You know, we've got something we need to do and we don't feel like we have the strength, the ability, the power. You know, we feel faint perhaps. Oh, the Lord is our strength. So many times I've had to ask him over and over, you know, for greater strength. Oh, yes, so that I could do what was on my plate for the moment. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, I find in the Lord Jehovah everlasting strength. Praise the Lord, and we can trust in the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. But yes, that promise, he's going to keep us in perfect peace. And yes, whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, that's our focus. That's where we keep our minds, on the Lord Jesus. Because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't lose that trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. He is sufficient. He is adequate for every need, for every problem, for every situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. See, we finish this short psalm, Psalm 85. And here it is. Oh, this psalmist, you know, feeling, oh, the longing for the salvation of the Lord and saying, surely his salvation is nigh. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Oh, there you go again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We don't fear him if we don't have the respect for him. We're not going to begin to have any kind of relationship with him. You gotta, first of all, fear the Lord. Fear him to keep his commandments. Fear him to turn away from sin. Fear him because you know he's going to judge one of these days and we want to be right. Amen. So yes, the longing, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Oh, praise the Lord. Tells us mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. And all that 13th verse, that's pretty neat. Oh, praise the Lord. We know that we have no righteousness in our own self. In fact, we know that our own righteousnesses in the sight of God are but filthy rags in his sight. Yes, it tells us. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Oh, there would be no hope except that Jesus Christ would clothe us with his righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Oh, praise the Lord. Our righteousness, oh, that he clothes us, that he puts upon us. Oh, yes, so that we can stand before him, be clothed in that linen garment. Oh, yes, that indicates, oh, that we've been clothed with the righteousness of our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Those sins that have been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ when he came before him. Oh, yes. And obeyed him and rested in his promises. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a wonderful salvation. We don't have to look toward it at this point. Yes, because Jesus Christ has come into the world. And not only did he come into the world, but came into the world to take away our sins. And that he did by dying on that cross. That blood that he shed was an atonement for sin. Oh, to make us at one with God, praise the Lord, so that we could be clothed in his righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we could be made alive. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, yes, how we want to be revived in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, all being dead in our trespasses and sins. But oh yes, he came into the world so that we could bend our knee and yield our heart to him and turn our lives over to the living God, repenting of our sins and going down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins with a promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, revive us again, Lord. Oh God, let thy power, thy strength, oh, run through our beings. Give us that hope beyond this world. And oh God, help us to make the impact that we need to make in this world before it's all over. For he's coming again. We sense the reality of it very soon. And all that we're seeing right now, oh, but praise the Lord. We can turn over to the Lord. We can focus on the Lord. We can have that peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, with the promise that he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. Praise the Lord. And yes, let him revive our spirits, our soul, our strength. Praise the Lord so that we can live in his sight and that we may rejoice in our God. Oh, praise the Lord, the God of our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, who is no longer angry with us. Praise the Lord, because yes, we turned that sin over to the living God. We repented, praise the Lord, and obeyed the plan of salvation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise thy gracious holy name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let your word talk to our hearts, Lord. Oh, revive us, and oh, God, make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. And oh, God, give us that hope beyond the word of this world. And oh, God, help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Revive us. Revive us that we might live in thy sight. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the power of the blood, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal to number 291 and sing Revive Us Again. 291. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.